morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. And this morning I want to finish up on the Once Saved, Always Saved, this interpretation by Dr. Charles Stanley, where I think he got confused. And it's a concern because he's a good man. But I hate to see anybody, you know, either intentionally or accidentally mislead anybody. But he's talking about the once saved, always saved doctrine, basically. And he's talking about, as we've talked about the last couple of days, about the outer darkness that Jesus spoke of. And he claims that it's nothing to do with hell, that it's just an outer part of heaven that some people have to go to because they haven't earned a right yet to a better part of the heaven. According to Dr. Stanley, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in the outer darkness of heaven. Now, I got to tell you straight out that that's silly, and I don't understand why he took something that Christ spoke about and completely twisted the meaning of it. The outer darkness is that the real Jesus Christ spoke about is an outer darkness that will never end, and those that are within that outer darkness will never escape. Jesus made it very clear whenever he spoke about these things, and to give such an absurd interpretation as Dr. Stanley's done, simply mind-boggling to me. I just don't understand it. The correct interpretation of the outer darkness that Jesus was referring to is very simple. Like I said, if you read Matthew 25:14-30, you'll see the Lord referred to the unprofitable servant as wicked. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, and there hast that is thine. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. That's Matthew 25:24-26. Now, Christ judged a man with one talent and referred to him as wicked, and therefore consigning him to the outer darkness where the unsaved will weep and wail and gnash their teeth for eternity. The man with the one talent simply hardened his own heart and turned away from the Lord. His faith was shipwrecked, and he never turned back. And that's sad, isn't it? But that's what they're talking about. Now, take heed, let's see. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And while it said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. That's Hebrews 3:12-15. Now, the Greek word departing in that is the exact same word as apistemi that we spoke about earlier. The man with the one talent simply deserted the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was the very purpose of the parable. The Lord gave us the parable as a warning. Instead, we make a mockery of it. It's terrible. The wicked go to the furnace of fire forever, folks. It's that simple. And the wicked going to enter the kingdom of heaven, are the wicked going to enter the kingdom of heaven along with the faithful? Well, it's a silly question, but evidently it needs to be asked. But not according to Jesus, not according to the creator of all things, no. And so shall it be at the end of the world, thine angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among you, the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, wherefore thou shalt be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's Matthew 13:49-50. So, you know, Jesus said that the wicked were going to be cast into the furnace of fire, and that's where there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Does that sound like a temporary place of punishment to you guys? I don't think so. Nothing to do with the Bible in that respect anyway. Now, Jesus spoke very clearly there about the finality of the furnace of fire, the hell, and it takes place at the end of the world. The term outer darkness is not used there, but it does not make any difference, actually, because it is hell where the wicked are tormented for eternity. It's absolute ludicrous to say that people whom the Lord Jesus Christ described as wicked would be weeping and gnashing their teeth for just a temporary period of time when we know it's for eternity. Now, that actually, if that was the case, see, that would destroy the unity of the scriptures and especially the message that the Lord Christ was trying to get across to us. To make it easier for maybe to understand, you can take a look at the Greek words that were used to translate certain English words. Now, the Greek word for wicked in Matthew 25:26 is the word paneros, and it's the very same Greek word used in Matthew 13:49, describing who those people whom Jesus said would be cast into the furnace of fire. Now, the Greek word for weeping in Matthew 25:30 is the word klothmos, and it is the very same Greek word used for wailing in Matthew 13:50, describing those people who Jesus said would be cast into the furnace of fire. Now, the Greek word for gnashing in Matthew 25:30 is the word brugmos, and it's the very same Greek word that's used in Matthew 13:50. Describing those whom Jesus said would be cast into the furnace of fire. And there were people weeping and gnashing their teeth in heaven. I don't believe that. Why would there be people weeping and gnashing their teeth in heaven? The Lord said there'd be no pain, there'd be none of this stuff. I don't know what else I can say about it. You know, when a Christian shares the gospel of Christ with the unsaved, they should honestly tell them that they have a choice between heaven and hell, and as to where they can wail and gnash their teeth. Well, I don't understand where Charles is coming from. It's really, really sad. The answer to that question, by the way, is no. You can't tell somebody that they're going to get a choice. Do you want to go to heaven and wail and gnash your teeth, or do you want to go to hell and do it? It doesn't work that way. The whole idea, really, when you think about this logically, even the whole idea of wailing and gnashing of teeth in heaven is ludicrous. It's just simply ludicrous. There's not going to be any weeping and gnashing of teeth in heaven. It's just not going to happen. Now, the Apostle Paul was speaking in the Spirit. He's truly speaking in the Spirit all them time years back when he told us that some shall depart from the faith. But the question is was anybody, and is there still anybody listening to what he had to say? That's really what's going on in this world, isn't it? You know, folks, it's just an option. You have to decide. You can listen to people preach all day long about once saved, always saved. There'll be, the outer darkness is not hell. It's just a part of heaven that some people have to be in. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth because somebody's upset and jealous over one of the others. It's just you have to decide what you're going to believe. You can believe that nonsense, or you can believe that Jesus is who he is and the heaven's waiting. And life is wonderful. But keep in mind, like I said, you can't join the choir, you can't quit the choir if you don't belong to the choir. You can't quit Jesus if you don't belong to Jesus. It's that simple. It just doesn't make any sense, does it, when you think about it? And I have a lot of these discussions with people about once saved, always saved, and they've always got answers, naturally, to some degree. But most of them will say that, you know, if you truly were saved, you wouldn't be doing these things and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the Lord said that in latter days some would fall away from the faith. So I don't know. You know, you're going to have to decide who do you want to believe. You want to believe Jesus? You want to believe somebody else? But heaven waits for all of us. Heaven's there for those who believe in Christ. If you believe in Christ, you need to follow Christ. You can't say, I accept you, Christ, to be my Savior, and then go out and live any kind of life you just want to live. It just does not work this way. And too many people are falling for the idea that you can do anything you want to do to the best of your ability, because after all, you accepted Christ when you were 7 years old or 9 years old or 10 years old or whatever, and it doesn't matter what you do now because everything's covered. I've heard them preach about how the cross covered past sins, sins now, and sins we're going to have in the future. It's there for that, sure, but it's not automatic. I do not believe that Christ died on the cross so that I could go out later after his death and run around and do the things, anything I want to do, and do it in his name, and it's all going to be okay. I do not believe that's why I was created. I know it's not. I know that's not why I gave my life to the Lord. I gave my life to the Lord so I would follow him. I love him. I know he loves me. It took me a long time to realize that. So there's so many discrepancies in some people's teachings, but you just have to try to do your very best to understand truth from fiction, truth from false. If you hear your preacher preaching on something that you just don't agree with, talk to one of the elders in your church or something and have a discussion about it. That's what they're there for. They're going to help you to understand better what's going on in life and what's going on in the scriptures. And so that's what they're there for. Talk to them and tell them you need a little assistance. Christ loves every one of you. The Lord would prefer that everybody goes to heaven. We know that's not going to happen. But that's his preference, is that all shall be saved. So, listen to the word, listen to preachers, but study and gauge the word against what the Bible has to say. If the Bible says different than what your preacher's teaching you, or your Sunday school class teacher's teaching you, then you need to study. Get a set answer on it, and then go to them and talk to them and say, you know, look, I disagree with what you was preaching on and what you was teaching in class the other day or whatever, and I need you to help me to understand where you're coming from, because here's what I believe the Lord is saying. And you have every right to do that, because you need to know that the truth is being spoken, that loved ones can accept Christ for who he is, not on a false pretenses or any other reason. But you can accept Christ for who he truly was, and do your best to understand that there are people out there that are, the preachers are just men. They make mistakes like everybody else. And when you hear them make a mistake, it doesn't hurt to talk to them about it. Write a letter, write an email or whatever, and tell them that you think they made a mistake on something and that you'd like a little better explanation, and see what they say. You'll have the right to email them back and give them advice if that's what they want also. So keep the faith, folks. That's the main thing. Keep the faith. Study the word. Don't get caught up in believing that you can just say to Jesus, you know, save my soul. I want you to be my Lord. And then go out and be a drunken fool chasing women all night long. You just can't live those kind of lives and be a follower of Christ. You have to accept Christ as your Savior, repent of your sins, and then go do his will. And if you're not going to do that, then you're failing. You're failing him, and you're failing yourself and all those around you. So hang in there. Study hard. Read your Bible every day, because it's vitally important that you read your Bible every day. Learn something new every day. Even if it's just, you know, one page or a couple paragraphs, if you do it on a consistent basis, you'll learn much, much more. You'll draw closer to the Lord. We're out of time. We got to go. We love you. The Lord loves you. God bless each and every one of you. Keep the faith. Run a good race. Amen.